I'm very happy to be here. It's good to see all of you. I've really enjoyed the fellowship with you, and I look forward to coming here, and it's just a blessing. I've been fighting a bad cold. I hope I can hold out and without going to coughing and carrying on, so I'm going to do the best I can. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that's a very popular scripture. You see it on bumper stickers. You hear it from preachers on the radio, on TV. And if you're talking to very many people about the plan of salvation, you'll have it quoted to you, because there's a lot of people that just really reject baptism. They don't want to hear it. And why that is, it's beyond me, because the Bible is very plain. It is very, very plain that except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, how much plainer can it get? You know, Brother Bell was talking about studying the Bible, and I really enjoyed that. It's very plain. The Bible's plain. You know, and when we look at it and we take it for what it is, you know, there's no excuse. I don't know about you, but I have talked to some people and sat down and opened the Bible and showed them, you know, what it said. And they'll look at it and kind of agree with you, but yet, when it gets right down to it, they won't do it. I had a neighbor just last year. He passed away. And he was a good friend. It kind of choked me up to think about it, because he was a good friend. And he called me and asked me to come over and pray for him. He had leukemia. And we did. I got to where we would pray with him every day. And he just loved me to come over and talk with him. We talked about the Bible. We talked about baptism, how important it is to be baptized. And he got down to the point where he said, you're right, I'm going to do it. I want to do it. And he said, when I get to feeling a little better, you know, when I get to feeling a little better, I'm going to come and do it. I said, look, Earl, you don't have to get to feeling better. You don't need to go on and do it now. We got a swimming pool. We got a lake. We got a place. We can go get some water and you'll be better. I'm going to do it. He came over to the church, and it was one Sunday. And when the invitation was offered, he never budged. Never got up. And then it wasn't too long after that, he passed away. And he is forever lost. I mean, the Bible's plain. He's gone. What else can you do? You know, I get disgusted sometimes thinking about it when I talk to people, because I got a good friend right now. He's a wonderful friend. He'd do anything for me, and I'd do anything for him if I could. Man, we talk about the Bible. We go hunting, fishing together, and we sit and talk about the Bible. He's a member of the Baptist church. In fact, he just become a deacon in the Baptist church. And he don't know the Bible. He don't know the scriptures. He asks you questions, you know he don't know. He don't even know that these scriptures are in the Bible. And you sit and talk to him about baptism and how important it is to be baptized. And he agrees that it's there, but he won't respond. See, the popularity and the level of status that he finds with 2,000 or 3,000 people in this denomination that he goes to seems to overrule his thoughts. So many people, when they get to the point, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You know, it's the plan of salvation, simple. But when they get down to the point of being buried in baptism, they choke up. You know, it's like super glue in the seat. They get stuck. Certain molasses, you can't get them out. You got to call a wrecker to pull them out. They just won't get out. And most of them will tell you, well, you know, at some point in time, I know what's right. I know what I need to do. And at some point in time, when I feel like that I can be a Christian and live a Christian life, then I'm going to obey the gospel. Most likely, you'll never do it. The scriptures say it's better to have never known the way than to have known it and then turn from it. And I recate that to a person that never obeyed the gospel too. When they come to the point where they reach the cross and they find out right from wrong, and they reject it, you know, then there's no other place to go. And they may never, never obey the gospel. I've known some like that. They know right and wrong, but they just won't obey. Baptism. Baptism in the teachings of the scriptures is a burial. It is a burial in water, a complete immersion. It is a burial. Nowhere in the Bible do you find any scriptures that give us the authority to sprinkle. Many today, you know, take a cup of water and sprinkle it on you and you're baptized. That's not according to the scriptures. Nowhere in the Bible you find that. That's contrary to God's to God's word. In the New Testament, you know how many baptisms are mentioned? Now, I'm talking about different baptisms. We know there's only one baptism because he tells us that in Ephesians 4 and 5. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But in the New Testament, how many baptisms do you think that is mentioned? There is 6 different baptisms. We have the baptism of suffering from Jesus, which he talks about over in Mark 10 and 35. That's where he is going to die on the cross, and he refers to it as a baptism when he's talking to the apostles. Then you have the Red Sea baptism over in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2, where the children of Israel were led out of the Egyptian bondage. And remember Moses, you know, they divided the sea and they went through it. It was referred to as a baptism. That's 2. Then we have the baptism of John the Baptist, which is the baptism of repentance that he's talking about. That is a water baptism. And then you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was upon the apostles, and that was not a water baptism. And you have the baptism of fire also mentioned in Matthew 3 and 11, where he tells them that he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We know that the baptism of fire is going to be in the end of time when Christ comes back, and those that haven't been baptized and haven't obeyed the gospel are going to be burned up in that place called hell. And then you have the water baptism that we're talking about. 6 different baptisms. All of these baptisms refer to a burial. A burial, not a sprinkling. Not a baptism in sand. You know, you may have heard Harry mention this, but we were there in Africa and the question come up, is it possible that we can be baptized in sand? No, you can't be baptized in sand. You can't be baptized in marbles. You can't be baptized in anything except water, because that's what the scripture said. And we always tell them, look, you know, your body is 90% water. Somewhere you got to have water to live. So somewhere you need to get water to be baptized. It's very important. And when you are baptized into Christ, it's a wonderful feeling. I mean, it is. You think about it. It's a joy to know that, you know, if your life ends, you know, you got a place to go. I've always been one that took a few chances, I reckon. I went and bought me a motorcycle not long ago. I know Brother Bill bought one. But I like my motorcycle. I get on it ride every once in a while, but at least I try to be careful. But I do know that if something happens to me, or we're on the way home, it doesn't have to be on that. If we're on the way home, something happens to us, and I'm taken from this life, then, you know, right across that line between life and death, I've been baptized. Christ died for me, and he died for you. And if you've been baptized, you've got a place to go to that's much better than what we got here. It ain't half bad past the grave. Now, you stop and think about it. Really stop and think about it. I'm going to tell something on Melinda. We was on the way back from Hope's Bluff last night, and we went over and heard Brother Mike speak, and I really enjoyed it. On the way back, I needed some fuel. So I pulled in a place to get some diesel fuel, and it wasn't, you know, the most reputable place I reckon around. I mean, it just kind of looked kind of bad, and bad folks hung out there, I reckon. I got out pumping the fuel, and Melinda was in the truck, and somebody pulled up beside us and left the door open. They just looked kind of, yeah, it wasn't the people I don't reckon you'd want to be around much. And she said she got kind of nervous real quick. She grabbed a Bible, opened the Bible, turned to a scripture, and said, you ain't going to believe where I turned to. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So, but listen, it would be. You stop and think about it. You stop and think about it. And for you young people that have never been baptized, that is one of the most important things you can do in your life. Nothing more important than being buried in baptism. Now, I want to tell you what baptism is. I looked at this little board here, and I hope I can draw it on here and give you a little idea. And this is probably for the young folk. But you know what baptism represents? Baptism represents us right here, the cross. It represents the death on the cross, the burial, and the resurrection right here. Old and new. Old law, new law. When a person is buried in baptism, the old man of sin over here is done away with. You're buried in baptism. You rise up a new person, a new creature, pure. See, when we're born, all of us are given a spirit. Andy and Rebecca's two little girls here, they're so precious, and Brad's little girl, and all these children. When they are born, they're given a spirit. All of us have a spirit. And that spirit within us is pure until we get to a point of accountability. You know, our spirit works and works and works, and then all of a sudden, when we get right here to the cross in our age, and we realize what Christ did for us, and we become, with the knowledge of what the gospel is about and what the church is about, we need to be baptized. We need to do away with the sin and come forth a new creature. When Christ died, the old law was nailed to the cross. The old law come to an end. He brought forth a new law. You know, when we're buried in baptism, like unto Christ, at that point in time, our sins are forgiven. We rise up a new creature. See, and we can live a life of Christ. And it's a wonderful life. It's a life that, without a doubt, joy and peace we can find in it, and is not nothing like it in this world. Being baptized into Christ and put on Christ. I want to mention a baptism that I think we ought to bring to our minds and say a few words on it. I'll try to be brief and try to be to the point. You could talk on this subject for days, I guess, and it's a very important. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people have the wrong idea as to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They seem to think that they have been baptized today with the Holy Spirit. Some think that nobody ever was baptized with with the Holy Spirit, nobody today. So there's two different views on it, I reckon. But now, when I say the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm not speaking of the baptism of water. I'm speaking of something else, a covering. Mark 1:8, John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize you with water." He says, "But there's going to be one, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Now, what he's talking about is something that was coming in the future to a chosen few. We want to see who it was that administered this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and to whom was the baptism of the Holy Spirit given, and who were the ones baptized in the Holy Spirit, and why were they baptized, and something else. May we expect today to be baptized with this Holy Spirit baptism? Well, the Bible leaves no doubt as to who the administrator of it was, and that was Christ. Over in Matthew 3:11, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and in fire." Christ, the Son of God, is the one that administered and gave this Holy Spirit baptism. And in his farewell message to the apostles, he tells them, John, he tells them to go and wait in Jerusalem until this comes about, that the power from on high will be given unto them. In Luke 24:49, It says, "And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be clothed with power from on high." So there's no doubt about it. Christ is the one that gives this Holy Spirit baptism. Well, who was it? Who was the baptism of the Holy Spirit promised? Well, it was promised to the apostles. In Acts 1 and 5, "For John indeed baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And also in Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." See, he was talking at that time to the apostles. He was assembled with the apostles. I'm not going to turn and read this because it would take so long, but Acts the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. So the promise was to the apostles. It was made to them. And here's something that we need to notice too. It was not a command. You know, it was a promise that was given to them. Baptism in water is a command, but baptism of the Holy Spirit was a promise. The apostles were the chosen ambassadors of Christ, and they were promised this. And the reason they were promised this, they were to be guided by the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26 says, "But the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you." And in John 16 and 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, in order for them to reveal the truth, and when I say truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, there was of necessity for them to be completely endowed with the Holy Spirit. And that had to cover their writings, their thinking, their teachings, all of this, their speech. They had to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, I want to ask you this. What if Jesus had them, and he could have, just printed it out, and there was 12 apostles, there are 12 that he had chosen, and they hadn't received the Holy Ghost, and he handed each one of them the word. What do you think would have happened? I'll tell you what would have happened. It's just like it is today. There'd have been 12 different doctrines. They would not have been the same. The Holy Spirit had to control them and had to teach them the same doctrine, the same word. And that's what took place. That's the reason for this. Who were the ones that were baptized with the Holy Spirit? Indeed, it was the apostles. Some seem to think that on that day of Pentecost, in Acts 2nd chapter, there was 120 that was gathered there. We read about them in the first chapter. There was 120 gathered there. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, when he says the Holy Spirit come upon them and they received the Holy Spirit, that was the apostles. The apostles is the only one that received on the day of Pentecost that Holy Spirit. And it was come down from heaven. It covered them up completely as a dove. He said as a dove come down and lights on them. And they were filled with the Spirit so that they could write these words, so that they could teach God and Christ crucified and so forth. And then, the latter part of the second chapter, there was 3,000 souls added to the church. And they asked the apostles, "What shall we do to be saved?" So it was not the 120 or not the other that the Holy Spirit come upon, but it would come upon the apostles. Now, there's some that when they talk about the Holy Spirit and about it being given to different ones, they always go over to Acts, the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter, and talk about the outpouring of the Spirit on the household of Cornelius. And yes, the Holy Spirit baptism was given at the household of Cornelius. And if we read that chapter and we look at it very close, we can understand, I think, that there was a different measure of the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit given unto the household of Cornelius. Now, the reason for this was, see, on the day of Pentecost, this was to the Jews. This was the teaching to the Jews. And this law that was done away with right here, the old law, was for the Jews. The Gentiles had no hope. Jews didn't even have no hope either except to get their sins rolled forward. But Christ came and died, and now he is, you know, telling us that it covers all, Jews, Gentiles, and all. All of us are covered under this new law. So the household of Cornelius was the Gentiles. This was some 2.5 years later. Now the Holy Spirit come upon them to cause them to realize that this was their Messiah that come, and it was for them also. You know, that's what it was about. Now, did they receive the same gift as the 12 apostles? Could they write down the scripture? Were they inspired? No, they weren't. If they were, if they'd have received the same gift, then what would have happened? There would have been no need for them to call on the apostles to come and tell them what to do. They would have known the same thing that the apostles know. No, it was. They received a gift. Over in, I won't turn and read it, but over in 1 Corinthians, when you have time, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, turn and read about the Spirit, the one Spirit, and all of the different gifts that is given by that one Spirit. Some are given the gift of healing, some the gift of knowledge, some the gift of faith, and what have you. And there's just all types of things that is given from the Spirit, you know, to different ones. And that's what took place. They were given the knowledge that Christ was a Messiah, that Christ did die for them just as he did for the Jews. So us today, when we're baptized, do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in that manner? No, we don't receive that. We don't receive it in that manner. No, but we do receive a gift from the Spirit. Do you remember when you were baptized? I can remember. Very well when I was baptized. It was in the wintertime, and oh, it was so cold. And Brother Busby came over, and he was holding the meat. And I tell you, I come up, and I'm thankful that I come up in a household that, you know, that was taught, and we continued all the time teaching and speaking and talking about the church. And I went to meetings, I went to debates, I went all over. It was really something that was ongoing all the time. And I got scared to death. I'll be honest with you. I really got scared knowing that I wasn't baptized. I thought that, man, something got to happen. So I got up that night and I went forward. And a friend of mine also that was over there went forward. And that night we went down to the lake, and they pulled up and shined the lights down on the lake, and it was so cold. And I went down in there, and I didn't even feel the cold. I was baptized, and I was happy. It was cold. I shivered a lot. But that was a joyous time. And from that point on, I've been happy that's one of the most important things that I've ever done in my life. And for you that have never been baptized, that's one of the most important things that you'll do. You will be baptized into Christ and get that feeling of knowing that your Christ died for you and that you're going to have forgiveness of sins. You can know that. You can know that you're going to heaven. Somebody told me one time, you can't know. You don't know for sure. Well, there's something wrong. Your faith is not strong enough. You just need to study a little more, because you can know that you got that place in heaven if you put your mind to it and you work. And you get that feeling because the Spirit comes within you that you are able to know that through the Scripture, through the Word. You know, it's very, very important. Baptism, I don't know how I could emphasize any more the importance of it, of baptism, other than the fact that I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And for you and me, if we are not baptized, that's the first step. Of course, Christian life, living your Christian life. You can be baptized, still not make it, but that's the first step. Then you live a Christian life. But if you realize how important it is to go to heaven and stop and think about it and get your mind on it, then you're going to work hard, you know, to avoid that place called hell, a burning fire. I saw something one time years ago, and it stuck in my mind, and it really has bothered me. It was a woman. The car had turned over, and she was underneath the car. And the car was on fire. I mean, it was just flames everywhere. You couldn't get to it, and she was screaming bloody murder. I mean, just screaming, screaming. The fire burning her up. Nothing nobody could do. You couldn't get to it to get it off of her, and she died. She burned up. And I got thinking about that. Man, just that little bit of time. Well, she was gone. It didn't take too long, but that was a bad thing. But to think about burning in hell forever and ever. You know, the rich man and Lazarus, come just take a little water and dip on my tongue. That's pretty hot. That ought to make us realize the importance of being baptized, being born again. Except you be born again. The water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, today, again, may we expect to be baptized with the Holy Spirit baptism? No. But when we're baptized into Christ. We put on Christ. It says in Galatians 3 and 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And in 1 Peter 3, 21 and 22, it tells us there that Christ is in heaven. How can that be? How can Christ be in heaven, but yet He's dwelling among us? How could that possibly be? I'm going to tell you, Christ dwells within us through this Word. Through God's Word. That's how important this Word is. Brother Bill had brought out how important it is. And we leave it laying on the shelf collecting dust so many times. So many times we do. This is one of the greatest books that has ever been written or ever will be written. It's God's Word. It's His Word. It's the Holy Spirit Word. That's why it says holy right on what it is holy. The book itself, the book doesn't amount to anything. It's what's in this book. The words. You can take the words out and put it in your mind. That's what it is. It's the Spirit. All of us have a Spirit. And when we reach this point, that Spirit right here is clean, pure. After you've been buried in baptism, and you fill your mind with God's Word. And then, when something happens in your life that you shouldn't ought to do, the Spirit speaks to you, say, hey, Danny, don't do that. Have you ever done something that really gets you, and you lay down at night and try to go to sleep, and you can't sleep, and get thinking about it? Pray to the Lord, forgive me for this, and I'll never do it again. I've done that before, and boy, it's so easy to do. We're human. All of us are going to do that. All of us are going to make mistakes. But that's the wonderful thing about it. That we have got this Holy Spirit Word that can dwell within us. And it can battle all those things that we come across. Colossians 3 and 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How powerful is the Word? The Word in John, the first chapter, God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Christ, our Savior, spoke the world into existence. He did. That's how powerful it is. The Word is very powerful. And if we put it in our hearts, and we take and we cherish it and study it the way we should, it'll grow and make us stronger and stronger. We'll realize the things in our life that we run across that are to be avoided, and we can avoid them. I want to turn over and read these words. You've heard them so many times, and you can read them over and over and over and get something out of them every time. Then in Luke, the 8th chapter, it's talking about the parable of the sower. It says in Luke, the 8th chapter, in the 11th verse, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they heard, received the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believest, and in time the temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. When we hear the word and we put it in our hearts and we cherish it and study, it's going to bring forth fruit. We're going to live a life that's an example to others. And we do that by the word. So important. So important for us to study and pick God's word up and read it. You know, over there in Africa, I don't know, we're checking into it, where all these Bibles is going. But there's just thousands and thousands of them over there, and we give them out, and they love it so much. You know, I've had several tell me, ask them, we know we give you a Bible. Where is it at? Well, I don't want to bring it to church because on the way, you know, robbers will take it and steal it from me. And, you know, that's a shame. And I've had several tell me that they're afraid they'll be walking on the road and they'll run up and grab it and take off with it and run. And many times we've been stopped on the road by the police, go through a road check, and they know you got a Bible in there, and they ask for them. The police even ask for them. And I have seen it to where that they would take a Bible, maybe one family, and they sit down and copy off a whole chapter and give it to their different members so that they read that. The word to them is so important. And that's the way it should be to us. But is it? I don't know about you, but I've got a collection of Bibles, and I don't know how many I've got. Some of them different translations. I'm like Brother Bill, I like the King James Version, but I've got others too. And many times I don't pick it up. Many times I find things that I want to do, and I go do it and don't read. And then I get to thinking about it, how important that word is. That's what dwells in me. That's how Christ dwells in me. And if I don't know that word, then I can't live to the fullest. And it's just so important that we study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Isn't it? It's a joy and a pleasure that we have his word. And we have the ability to read it. Hope I've said something that maybe will stop and make you think about this Holy Spirit baptism and so forth. Get your books and go down and start studying. It's such an enjoyable thing to study. And when you come to realize exactly, you know, what he's talking about, it's very easy to understand. When you let the Bible, I found out through the years, you let the Bible define the Bible. And when you do that, man, it makes it so much easier. So, baptism, if you've never been buried in baptism, I'm going to tell you, it's something that you need to do. You're in a lost condition if you've reached that age of accountability. And I'll tell you, if you haven't been buried in baptism, there's a beautiful lake right over the hill here. There's plenty of water. And there'd be no reason not to do it, because you can go down there and wade right out there at the beach and be buried in baptism. And then you can have that wonderful feeling, joy and peace and comfort, knowing that you've got a home in heaven. May the Lord bless us all. Thank you for your time.